It's our pleasure for you to be in our assembly today. And it's already been announced. If you're visiting, we're glad to see you. I want to talk to us this morning for just a few minutes about things men found. As you read through this sacred volume, you will encounter a number of things that the Bible says that men found. In fact, if you will begin reading in the first verse of the Bible and read all the way through the book of Revelation, you would encounter the word found 427 times. So I want us to take a look at some of the things that the Bible catalogs that men found. The first one I want to mention to you, the Bible teaches that men found the grace of God. In the book of Genesis, in chapter 6 and in verse 8, when Noah lived in a wicked world, it says that Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. The word grace means God's favor that's been extended to us that we have not earned and we really do not deserve. And it has been extended to everybody. Titus 2:11 says, the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared unto all men. Grace is one of those things that the Lord says that saves us today. In Ephesians 2:8, Paul says that we're saved by grace through faith, not of works, lest any man should boast. We're saved by the grace of God, but not by grace alone. You know, it's a very popular religion that we're saved by grace just by itself. The Bible doesn't teach that. There are a number of things that work together to bring about man's salvation. Grace is just one of the many. So don't ever think, even though you might read it in some church manual, that grace only is the most wholesome doctrine and very full of comfort. I wish I could tell you that. We're saved by grace, but nowhere does the Bible ever say we're saved by grace only. Nowhere. But Noah, in the midst of a crooked world, was able to find grace in God's sight. Secondly, you might be surprised at this. The Lord's people in the Old Testament found God's law. You know what had happened? They lost it. It had been lost among the Israelites of the Old Testament. And in 2 Chronicles chapter 34 is the story of the Israelites looking for things, and the Bible says that they found God's law. Can you imagine that? That God's law had been lost among the Lord's people. Think of that. Somebody said, that never happened to us. Don't be too sure. Just as it happened to those people in 2 Chronicles 34, it can happen to us today. In fact, I expect there are a lot of churches of Christ somewhere in this world today that have gotten so far away from Bible teaching they don't even need the book. They go by their thinking, their opinion of what they like. And eventually, they'll not be able to find God's law among the people. And that's a sad commentary, is it not, on God's people? That they literally found God's law. You know where they found it? In God's house. That's astonishing, isn't it? And so we need to make sure that we keep this book active and taught, that every individual, from the smallest to the greatest, knows this book, lest we find ourselves looking for, trying to find God's law. Don't let it happen to us. But thirdly, when you think about things that men found, I take it to the text that we just heard read a minute ago. In Matthew 13:44, the kingdom of heaven, that's the church, by the way, And the Lord likens the church to a lot of different things, by the way. In this text, the kingdom or the church is like unto a treasure hid in a field, the which, when a man hath found, there's my word, he hideth, and for joy thereof goeth and selleth all that he hath, and buyeth that field. A man found, number three, what he called a treasure in a field. The Bible is referred to as a treasure. And here's an individual that was so intent on knowing God's will that when he found it, he hid it in the field, sold all that he had, and bought the field. Why did he buy the field? Because the treasure therein. You see that, don't you? We need to put first things first in regards to this volume. You know, the wise man said in the book of Proverbs 23:23, buy the truth and sell it not. Purchase it at any price. And then when you find that treasure in that hidden field, in this case, hold on to it. Don't let it get away. In the next verse, there's a second point I want to add to this one. Again, verse 45. The kingdom of heaven is like unto a merchant man seeking goodly pearls. And so I add another thing to this one. Pearls. What do you say about the pearls? Who, when he had, you know what the next word is? Found. There's my word again. When he found one pearl of great price, he went and sold all that he had and bought it. That just shows you the value of God's word. It's a treasure. You can't put a price tag on it. It's beyond comprehension. There's no book like it. It's not even the book of the month, nor the book of the year. But it's the book of books. It's the only book that's been written that tells you where you came from, why you're here, and where you're going when it's all over. It's the Word of God. And it is inspired. And so, they found a treasure and pearls. And bought them. But there's something else I want to talk to you about. Number four. I'm talking about things men found. One time men were found to be idle. It's a dangerous way to be, by the way. Matthew 20 and verse 1 this time. In Matthew 20... begin with the first one. What's going on in Matthew chapter 20? Well, let's look and see. The kingdom of heaven is like unto a man that's a householder, which went out early in the morning to hire laborers into his vineyard. When he had agreed with the laborers for a penny a day, he sent them into his vineyard. And went out about the third hour, and saw others standing idle in the marketplace. And he said unto them, go ye also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right I'll give you. And they went their way. And he went out about the sixth hour, the ninth hour, and did likewise. And about the 11th hour he went out and found what? Others standing idle. And saith unto them, why stand ye here idle all the day idle? And they said, because no man hath hired us. And he said, go in the vineyard, and whatsoever is right, that shall ye receive. On this occasion, the Lord found men standing idle. Not the place to be. Now, the Bible says in the book of Proverbs 19 and verse 15, Slothfulness casteth into a deep sleep, and an idle soul shall suffer hunger. Good enough for him, right? If he is too lazy to work, the word slothfulness means lazy fellow. If a guy is too lazy to work when he's capable of working, physically and mentally, I understand the circumstances that may change that. That's understandable. But when an individual has the right mind and body, he needs to be working. He needs to be busy. The Lord don't want us to be idle. It has been well said. An idle brain, you know the rest of that? Is a devil's workshop. And the majority of people, social statistics, who are in prison, got there when they were idle. Didn't have anything to do. When the Lord addressed young widows in 1 Timothy in chapter 5 in verse 14, he told these young widows to marry, bear children, guide the house. You know why? 1 Timothy 5:14. So they'll not learn to be what? Idle. What are these young widows doing while they're idle? Well, he said these particular ones were wandering from house to house. What are you doing that for? Not only idle, but tattlers. You don't need to have the time to be tattling. Idle people do that. Also, he said they're busybodies in other men's matters, speaking things they ought not. 1 Timothy 5:13 and 14. And so, you can't misunderstand what I'm talking about, can you? You need to be busy. Your kids need something to do. You're doing your children a disfavor when you let them sit around the house all day and watch television or do whatever, and not with some chores to do. Ephesians 4:28. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor with his hands, that he may have to give to him that needeth. We have raised a generation of lazy people. And when the Lord found people idle, he said, go to work in my vineyard. The church is a workplace. Oh, we come here in this nice facility and comfortable seats, warm in the winter and cool in the summer. That's worship. That just kind of gets us ready to go out and work, not be idle. And I like to challenge all of us, beginning with myself, to get this idleness out of our system. The Lord found such, he wasn't very happy with them. Go work. We need to sing that song often, don't we, Greg? Work, for the night is coming. Or as Paul told the Corinthians, be steadfast and unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know your labor is not in vain in the Lord. You idle? Get busy. Go to work. There's something else that men found. Number 5. You ever hear of a fig tree? What's wrong with that fig tree the Lord found? It didn't have anything on it but leaves. A fig tree with just leaves. Well, somebody said, what's wrong with that? Well, if you want a shade tree, that's all right. But fig trees are not for shade, are they? What are they for? Producing figs. So come with me to Matthew 21:19. In the book of Matthew 21 and in verse 19. Jesus saw a fig in the way. He came to it and guess what? Found, there's more word again, nothing but leaves only. You think the Lord was pleased with a fig tree with leaves only? No fruit? I don't think so. You know what he said? Let no fruit grow on thee henceforth forever. You know what happened to the fig tree? Withered away. Gone. You see, a fig tree that's designed to be fruitful is useless if it just has leaves only. In Matthew 21 and 20, and when the disciples, they saw it also. They marveled. Makes a good sermon, by the way. Bible marvels. And they said, how soon is this fig tree withered away? Instantaneously it's gone. Because the Lord was unhappy with a fig tree that just had leaves only on it. You see, the Lord expects his people to be fruitful. Read the story of the vine and the branches in John 15, 1 to 6. Jesus said, I'm the vine and you're the branches. But if a branch does not produce its fruit, he said, cut it down and burn it. Suppose you've got a grape harbor, and you have that grape harbor not just for decoration or landscape, but you have it to grow grapes on. And doesn't produce. What do you do with it? Prune it. Maybe cut the thing down. And burn it. That's what the Lord said in John 15, 1 to 6. When the wise man wrote about it, he said, the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life. And he that winneth souls is wise. Proverbs 11 and verse 30. If Jesus came and looked at your and my life, would he just see a tree with only leaves? Or would he see its fruit bearing? You'll have to decide that. That bearing fruit is, by the way, of teaching and encouraging people to obey the gospel. That's the fruit the Lord expects. I tell you something else the Lord found. Number six. The Lord found some people in the temple one time. And he was very unhappy with them. You can read about this in John 2:13 beginning. 13 to 17, actually. You also read about it in Matthew 21 and 12. And 13. Jesus went up to Jerusalem and found. Lord, let me ask you, what did you find when you went up to Jerusalem in the temple? Those that sold oxen and sheep and doves and the changers of money sitting. That's what he saw. How did the Lord react when he found these people doing that in the temple? We're talking about Old Testament times, you know. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John occurred, by the way, under Old Testament times. What do you do? Lord, what are you going to do with these people? Pat them on the back? Good luck in your business. That's not what he did. The Lord could get uptight. He could get angry and do some things you think he might not do. He overthrew the tables of the money changers. And the seats of them that sold doves. Can you imagine that? Just coming and turn them over. Here they sit. Lord, why are you doing a thing like that? I'll tell you why he did it. He said it is written, and he quotes a passage of the Old Testament. My house. By the way, the word house here referred to the temple. Sometimes it refers to the church in the New Testament. My house shall be called the house of prayer. But ye have made it a den of thieves. Think of that. The Lord's house is not a place for buying and selling. They were misusing it. See, these people came into Jerusalem to offer the sacrifices. And these people sold some of the things that they sacrificed. Like doves was one of them. And they might come from another country, and their currency wasn't proper for the area. And so they would change the money into the current currency. Like if you go to a foreign country, I know one of the first things you need to do if you want to be able to thrive there, live there, is to take your American money and have it changed into their currency. You know about that. That's what they were doing. But they were using the Lord's house for their business. And the Lord doesn't like that. And so he just ran them off and said, "You've made my house a den of thieves." They may have been doing some thievery too. Evidently they were. They were cheating the people as well. And dealing with currency, it's hard sometimes to figure all that out. Unless you're up on that. Well, you can see the Lord, there's some things being found, right? How many did I say there were? 427 of them. I just got started. You got all day? That's another one we'll talk to you about. The Lord one time talked about faith. And let me talk to you a little bit about what he said about it. Matthew reported one time that Jesus was in Capernaum. That's a city. And a centurion told him of his servant who was sick. I want you to notice what the centurion said to Jesus. Matthew 8:5-13. His servant is sick. He wants him to get well. The centurion said to Jesus, "All you have to do is just speak the word only, and my servant will be healed." What's that about? See that word? That's what it's about. Faith. When Jesus heard it said, what did he say? "I have not found so great faith, no, not in all Israel." That individual whose servant needed some attention said, "All you have to do, Lord, just speak the word." He had faith in the Lord, and Jesus said, "I've not found faith like that anywhere else." How's your faith today, by the way? You know, you can't please God without faith, Hebrews 11:6. You cannot be saved without faith in God. It's the first step after hearing. Faith cometh by hearing, remember, Romans 10:17. What a word. Found. One more. And this sermon is yours. Number 8. You had the marker. What goes through your mind that you might think about that was found? Think just a moment and let's see if we're on the same page. Here it is. The lost. Finding the lost. In the book of Luke 15, you remember, in fact, the whole chapter tells us about finding that which was lost. As you look at these that were lost, one of the key words is the word found. Good shepherds look for lost sheep, remember, until they found and rejoiced when they found him. Luke 15. Remember that story? It's a parable. Parable of the lost. What man of you having 100 sheep, if you lose one of them, doth not leave the 90 and 9 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it? And when he found it, there's my word again, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he cometh home, he calleth to gather his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, "Rejoice with me, for I found what? My sheep, which was lost." And there was joy. there are lost sheep in the Lord's church today. Anywhere you want to look. There are lost sheep among us. You know that? And we need to be looking for. Elders, who are the shepherds of the church, where there are elders, many, many times make no effort to find the lost sheep. Most of it don't even know their names or who they are. Much less go out and find them. That's sad. That's one of the work of elders, by the way. This story teaches that. They looked till they found him. And they brought him home. That needs to be done today. The woman had a coin, was lost in this story. She had 10 pieces of silver. If she lost one piece, doth not light a candle and sweep the house and diligently till she find it. I mean, after all, I've still got some silver here. I've got 9 more pieces. Why worry about that one piece? Or that one sheep? Still got 99. Every person is critically important. They got a soul to save, a hell to shun, and a heaven to gain. What did this woman do? She swept the house until she found it. And then she called her friends to rejoice, because there's joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repents. Finding the lost. The third one in Luke 15 is the lost boy. Lost sheep, lost coin, lost boy. Remember the story of the prodigal son? There were 2 prodigals really in that story. The one that stayed home, the one that went away. We don't usually recognize the one that stayed at home as a prodigal, but he was. In a different sense. He was selfish. He didn't care about his brother or anybody else. Selfish. The boy takes his inheritance, goes and finds himself in the hog pen, feeding the swine. Tough love left him out there. And he came to himself. Sometimes people have to get so low in their life that they have to come to themselves on their own. Nothing you can do about it. And he got to thinking. The hired servant's back at home better than I am out here feeding the pigs, eating the husks of the swine. And he said, I'm going to go home. Now I'm going to say I've sinned. That's hard to say. We're too proud to do that sometimes. Well, anyway, when he rose and came to his father, and when he was a great way off, his father saw him. He must have been looking for his boy. What father or grandfather who has a wayward child that's not out looking for him, awaiting him to come? And he saw him way down the road. And had compassion on him. And he ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. Would you do that? And the son said unto him, Father, I've sinned, and I'm no more worthy to be called thy son. The father, being gracious and forgiving as God is, said, bring forth the best robe. Not that ragged one now. Not that one that's wore out, but the best one. Put a ring on his finger. Must have been barefooted. Put shoes on his feet. Bring the fatted calf, not the skinny one, and kill it. Let's eat and be merry. Now, verse 24 is the verse I want you to think about. For this my son was dead. He wasn't dead physically, but he'd been separated from his father's house. And is alive again. He was lost. And is what? Found. They began to be merry. So there's the lost being found. We need to rejoice. We need to sing more often, Alan. Seeking the lost and bring them home as they are restored to safety. Galatians 6 and verse 1. We need to be like Andrew. who learned of Jesus. And the Bible said the first thing that he did, he found his brother and brought him to Jesus. John 1, 40 to 42. Well, that's it. Things been found. Eight of them. Of the many that could be talked about. Hope you appreciate that. And that we need to be looking for that which is lost. That they might be found and brought home. Thanks for listening so well today. But should there be one in this audience who needs to respond to heaven's call by repentance, confession, and baptism, we stand ready to assist you. Or maybe you've been a member of the church, but you fall away and you want to come back to be restored to safety. You've been lost, but now you're found. That we might rejoice with you. Let's sing, Alan. I invite you to come.
There's a fountain free just for you and me. Let us haste, oh haste, to its brink. 'Tis a fount of love from the source above, and he bids us all freely drink. Will you come to the fountain free? Will you come? Souls, hear the welcome call.